We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
I want to talk to you tonight about knowing the ways of God. Would you find in God's Word, Exodus chapter 33, the truth that I'm going to share with you tonight, my brother Ron Dunn, who's now in heaven, shared with me, and I was blessed by it, and I want to share it with you. Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now Moses is facing a great task. He is to take the chosen people, called the children of Israel. He's to lead them all the way through the wilderness and into a land called Canaan, the promised land. And faced with this tremendous task, with many things unforeseen, unforeknown, he makes a prayer. It is a great prayer. It ought to be the prayer of each one of us here tonight. It's found in verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Now, there are two ways that you can be acquainted with God. For example, you can know God's works, what God does, or you can know God's ways, who God is. Now, Moses didn't say, Lord, show me your works. He'd already seen plenty of God's works. He says, Lord, if I've got a task to do, a gigantic task to do, Lord, I want to know your ways. And God answered that prayer. Put in your margin Psalm 103 and verse 7. The Bible says, He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts, A-C-T-S, unto the children of Israel. Moses knew God's ways. Israel knew God's works. They saw what God did, but Moses knew something that the rest of Israel did not know. There are two levels of knowledge about God. Some know God's works. They see what God does. Others see God's ways. They see insight into God's character. Now, to know the ways of God will bring peace in a troubled world. And God knows that we're facing a troubled world. To learn the ways of God will bring peace in troubled times. Now let me talk to you about the difference, therefore, between God's works and God's ways. The difference between knowing God's works and knowing God's ways is the difference between rest and relapse. For example, God promised Moses rest. Look, if you will, in verse 14. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Israel found no rest. Go look into the New Testament. Now, let's just find the commentary on this. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 for a moment, and it's worth turning to. Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to see what God has to say, and God is commenting on this very same passage right here. Hebrews 3, and let's begin in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, prove me, now watch this, and saw my works 40 years. For 40 years, Israel was wandering in the wilderness, and they saw the works of God. But now notice in verse 10, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they've not known my ways. They saw my works, but they never knew my ways." So now notice in verse 11, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Now Moses said, "Lord, I want to know your ways." God says, "Moses, I'm going to give you rest." Israel knew God's works, but they never found rest. When you know God's ways, it's the difference, therefore, between rest and relapse. You see, you can know God's works. You can see God's works without knowing God's ways. The land of Canaan represents the believer's rest. They were to have rest, but they never found rest. Those of us who know God's ways are going to find that we're living in a perpetual Sabbath, not a seventh-day Sabbath, a 365-day-a-year Sabbath. Now, why don't we know this? Why don't we have this blessing? Well, there's no blessing without obedience. And there is no obedience because there's no trust. And there's no trust because there's no love. And there's no love because there's no knowledge. You can't trust someone that you do not know. And you cannot know anyone if all you see is their works and you don't know their ways. So you have to know an individual. You have to know their ways in order to love them. You have to love them in order to trust them. And you have to trust them in order to obey them. And the reason that Israel never found rest is because they saw the works of God. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the plagues on Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw all of these things, but they never understood the ways of God, and they never found rest. The difference between knowing the works of God and the ways of God is the difference between rest and relapse. Another thing, to know the ways of God rather than merely the works of God is the difference between intimacy and infatuation. Now, it's easy to be infatuated with God. If I were to do a miracle here tonight, which I've decided not to do, but if I were to do a miracle here tonight, just some spectacular miracle, the news would spread through this community. If we were to bring a little child in a wheelchair here, and I could go down and lay my hands on that child and heal that child, and it would be an obvious, industrial strength, conclusive miracle, why, the word would go through the community. In the next service, we would not be able to put people in here with a shoehorn because they would want to see the miracles of God. They would be infatuated with these miracles. I've seen many people infatuated with God. People can get infatuated with a church when the bloom is on the church. But let the church have difficulty, let the church have problems, and they leave. They don't have genuine faith. They don't know the ways of God. A man sees a girl. He thinks she's beautiful. His heart begins to beat. He's infatuated with her. And he falls in love with a dimple and makes the mistake of marrying the whole girl. And she's gorgeous when he marries her, but now she's fat and 40. Now he's bald and bulgy. And they don't really know one another intimately. Moses knew the ways of God, and he had an intimate relationship with God. Look in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. That's knowing the ways of God. That's not simply knowing the acts of God. In today's world, there are a lot of people that I call miracle mongers. They're looking for a miracle. You can turn on television, religious television today, and you'll see one sideshow after another. That's a big difference. Jesus did miracles and didn't advertise them. These people advertise them and don't do them. But people still looking for a miracle. They're looking to see the works of God, and so they come, thinking they're going to be convinced. You'll find those kind of people in John chapter 2 when Jesus turned water into wine, a genuine miracle. But the Bible says many followed him when they saw the miracles that he did. Many believed on him is what it literally says. But the Bible says Jesus did not commit himself unto them, and he uses the same word in the Greek, Jesus did not believe in them. They believed in him, but he did not believe in them. For he knew man, and needed not that any should testify what was in man. Jesus knew that people could be infatuated by miracles, but they did not know him intimately. Later on in the Gospel of John, when Jesus fed 5,000, why, the people flocked to him. They said, look, a human cafeteria. It's incredible. Look, he's feeding us with bread and fish. And they followed him. And then Jesus began to talk to them about knowing his ways, knowing him intimately, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And they left him like rats leave a sinking ship. They were infatuated, but they never really knew the Lord. Israel was infatuated with God at the Exodus. I mean, when they came out, God opened up a 48-lane superhighway through the Red Sea, and here they go through the Red Sea, leaping and dancing and shouting and praising God. Infatuation. It wasn't long until they were moaning and groaning and complaining, and Moses, their leader, had gone from hero to zero, because it was mere infatuation. That was a honeymoon when they went through the Red Sea. But it wasn't long until they wanted to go home to mother. I've noticed that people who get divorced for trivial reasons are the people who got married for trivial reasons. It's infatuation. It is not genuine love. You can't love a person if you don't know their ways. Now, Israel saw the works of God. They saw the miracles of God. But they did not know the ways of God. God made known his works unto Israel and his ways unto Moses, because Moses prayed, Lord, show me your way. It's the difference between rest and relapse. You'll have a relapse when trouble comes if you don't know the ways of God. It's the difference between intimacy and infatuation. You want a divorce from God if you're merely infatuated with God because of his works. It's the difference between being a teacher or a testifier. Now, the person who sees the works of God is a testifier. The person who knows the ways of God is a teacher. Moses could teach in ways that Israel could not teach. Now, it's pretty easy to give a testimony. If you see God do something, you can stand up and give a testimony. But if that's all that happens, you're not going to be much of a teacher. In John chapter 9, there's the story of a man who was born blind and Jesus healed him. You remember that story? The Pharisees got that man and began to interrogate him and to say, who healed you? What were his credentials? As if they would say, who ordained him and what seminary did he go to? What right does he have to do all of this? Is he a sinner or not? You know what that man said? I don't know. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, once I was blind and now I see. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But 20 years from now, that wouldn't have been much of a testimony, would it? I'm still not sure whether he's a sinner or not. I don't know whether he's a blasphemer or not. No. Later, Jesus came and taught that man and discipled that man so he could be more than a testifier. Now, a lot of people just want to stand up in a church and testify about how Jesus saved them when they were 9 years old. Well, I'm glad he did. But are you not going to go any further than that? Are you never going to learn the ways of God so that you can not only tell what God has done, but who God is, something about the very nature of God? Now, most of us are not very good teachers. We may be testifiers. Do you know what makes a good counselor? A person who has the ways of God in his or her heart. And by the way, to be a good counselor does not mean that you solve a person's problems for them. To be a good counselor means you bring them to God. You bring them to God. You allow them to have an I-thou relationship with Almighty God, where they begin to learn the ways of God and the nature of God. And only those who know the ways of God make a good counselor. Now, to know the ways of God rather than merely the works of God is the difference between peace and panic. At the Red Sea, Moses was the only one who didn't panic. Everybody else panicked because all they could see is what was happening. They did not know the ways of God. Somebody said, if you can keep your head when all those round about you are losing theirs, it's a sign you don't understand the situation. Or it may be a sign that you know the ways of God. It's the difference between peace and panic. If all you see are the works of God, then when the works of God don't work out just right, you push the panic button. You see, many times things are not going to work out the way you think. Just about the time you think you've got it all figured out, how God is going to work, he does things strange. James was put in prison, and he was beheaded. Peter was put in prison, and an angel comes and springs him. And he walks out of prison. The doors open up, the chains fall off. Well, who did both? Who allowed both things anyway? God. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. He gets 3,000 souls. Stephen testifies he gets 3,000 stones. Did Peter love Jesus more than Stephen? Was Peter God's little darling and Stephen not? Was James less value than Simon Peter? I'm telling you, my dear friend, if you try to get your theology from the works of God, you're going to be panicky most of the time. You need to know the ways of God. Moses said, Lord, show me your ways. Do you know the ways of God? Now, what we need to do is to know God in such a way, come weal or come woe, come thick or come thin, come good or come bad, come sun or come rain, though you slay me, yet will I trust you, Lord, because I know your ways. To know the ways of God is the difference between intercession and indifference. A man who knows the ways of God is a man who can intercede. Abraham was an intercessor. We'll leave Moses for a moment. Moses, of course, interceded for Israel. because he knew the ways of God. Abraham knew the ways of God. God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham protested and he said, Lord, this is not your way. Lord, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's not your way. Moses or Abraham had such an intimate relationship with God that he was able to pray and intercede. There's a lot of foolish praying that goes on because people do not know the ways of God. And they're asking God to do things that he will not do. I did that on one occasion. I stained heaven with my prayers. Something I wanted God to do. I explained to God why I ought to do it. As I've told you before, I even shouted at him. But God spoke to me and he said, Adrian, you're asking me to do something I'm not going to do. And he didn't speak audibly, but he spoke to me. But he said, I know what I'm doing. Trust me. I learned something of the ways of God that is so different from the works of God. Moses prayed, Lord, show me your way. I want to know you intimately. Now, in this coming year, how can you know the ways of God? Are you ready? Let me tell you how to know the ways of God. May I tell you, first of all, how you will not know the ways of God? You will not know the ways of God through human reason and human ingenuity. Look, if you will, in chapter 33, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now there were some things that Moses did not know, and God didn't tell him. Go over to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now watch this. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Don't ever get the mistake of thinking that God's ways are like your ways, that God's thoughts are like your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you're not going to know God's ways through human ingenuity. Your thoughts are never going to reveal to you God's ways. God's ways are always mysterious. Let me give you another scripture. Turn to Psalm 77 and verse 19. The psalmist speaking to God, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. God walks on the water, but you'll never see his footprints there after he's walked on the water. Look at it again. Listen. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. What does that mean? It means God's ways are always mysterious. God leaves no footprints on the sea of life. There are no pathways in the trackless and traceless sea. God's ways are mysterious. So if you're on the ocean, you're not going to find a path. The sailors of this day had to look up to the stars. How are you going to know the way of God? Not by looking around. Not by human ingenuity. Not by reasoning. For God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You know the ways of God through intimate, face-to-face dealing with God. Look again in verse 11. We're in Exodus 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Go down to verse 14. And he says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Look, if you will, in verse 19. And he said, And I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. All of these talk about an intimate relationship with God that does not come by observation of seeing God open the Red Sea. It does not come by interrogation or reasoning. It comes by an intimate relationship with God. Over here is my associate pastor. I love him very much, and I respect him. When I asked him to be the associate pastor at the church, you know why? I knew his works. I knew what he did. I watched him. Has a fine mind. Has a work ethic. He's loyal. As far as I can tell, has a personal, intimate relationship with God. I knew his works. I'll tell you something about his wife. She knows his ways. She knows things about him that I don't know and you don't know, but she knows him intimately in a way that we don't know him. Now, after having worked with him these years, I'm beginning to learn something about his ways. And I'm afraid to say it, but he's learning something about mine, too. About ways. How do you know the ways of God? There's no way that you're going to open a book and learn about the ways of God. There is no way that you're going to see what God does and learn the ways of God. You can see the works of God. But how wonderful when God says to you in answer to prayer, My presence will go with you, and I will speak to you face to face. Again, I want to say that the purpose of all counseling and preaching is not to solve problems for people, but to bring them into the presence of God so that they know God face to face. And when we learn to seek His face and not His hand, we will know His ways and we will find rest for our souls. That's my prayer for you for the coming year, that you will know the ways of God. Father, seal this to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.